हरे कृष्ण, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
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 नारायणं नमस्कृत्य,
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य,
नरं चैव नरोत्तमम्,
नरं चैव नरोत्तमम्,
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम्,
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम्,
अतो जय मुदीरये,
अतो जय मुदीरये,
नत्रायेषु अभद्रेषु,
नत्रव्ययेषु अभद्रेषु,
नित्यं भागवत सेवया,
नित्यं भागवत सेवया,
भगवती उत्तम श्लोके,
भगवती उत्तमं श्लोके,
एव भवति नैष्टिके,
अतीव नैष्टिके.
हरे कृष्ण. सो हाउ इज एवरीबॉडी? I presume all of you are doing very well. So today we will discuss the ninth chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Last week I did the eighth chapter of the first canto, which described that after the battle of Kurukshetra, the Pandavas went to offer tarpan, or auspicious water of the river Ganges, for the welfare, spiritual welfare of the departed souls, those who left their bodies in the battle of Kurukshetra, their relatives and friends. And then that towards the end of the chapter, Krishna also was there with them when they went. And at the end of the chapter, there were beautiful prayers by Queen Kunti. When Krishna was about to leave, Queen Kunti was very much aggrieved that now Krishna was going to leave. So she offered those prayers to Krishna, explaining how He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and He is their Supreme Benefactor, and how Krishna had always been taking care of them through all the difficulties and distresses. And this is a very beautiful prayer offered by Queen Kunti, and on this prayer, Srila Prabhupada actually wrote an entire book, The Prayers of Queen Kunti, with his elaborate descriptions of those and explanations of those prayers. And then Krishna went to bid farewell to other members of the family. And at that time Yudhishthira Maharaj was very much heartbroken, and he couldn't accept that Krishna was going to leave. And Yudhishthira Maharaj was lamenting for killing so many relatives and friends in the battle. And Krishna tried to console him, but Yudhishthira Maharaj's anguish was not to be pacified. And in this way, Yudhishthira Maharaj was explaining that the sins that he has committed by killing so many of his friends and relatives in this battle, just in order to take the kingdom, was unfair on his part. And although for a warrior, for a kshatriya, it is actually glorious to fight a battle and kill his enemies, but in his situation it was different, because he was dealing with his own family members. And he was lamenting, why did I fight the battle? Why didn't I give up the kingdom right at that time? And just as Arjun did at the beginning of the battle, now you can see that Yudhishthira Maharaj is lamenting the same way at the end of the battle. And anyway, Krishna pacified him. And the main point is that everybody tried to avoid that battle. Everybody tried. Krishna actually went with a proposal. So just give them, give the five Pandavas, five villages, that will be all right. But Duryodhana would not listen to that proposal. His response to that was that without a battle, I'm not giving them a piece of land the size of the tip of the needle. So it was unavoidable. The battle became unavoidable. Everybody tried in so many ways to avoid that battle, but it was Duryodhana who should be blamed for that because of his avarice, because of his greed, and because of his envy towards the Pandavas. That actually ultimately led them to the battle. And now the consequence of the battle, so many people died. At that time, practically the Kuru dynasty became devoid of all its members, male members. The only five members, surviving members, were the five Pandavas. And Uttara and Abhimanyu, Parikshit Maharaj were in the womb of his mother. And so it was the consequence of the battle was very, very unfortunate. And many people, many saintly personalities, many exalted individuals actually advised Duryodhana not to get into the battle and just have truce with his brothers. Many of them even advised that if you side up, if you join up with the Pandavas, then you will become the most powerful person in the whole world. But because of his envy that he didn't want to share the glory and share the kingdom with the Pandavas. He just wanted to enjoy it all by himself, and that actually led to this battle. So the Pandavas were prepared to accept any kind of agreement. When Krishna proposed, just instead of half the kingdom, just give them five villages. Still,
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.
Yes. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. This is Anand Shivalanka from Vrindavan. Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Can you hear me?
Hare Krishna.
Guru Maharaj, this is Anand from Vrindavan. The line is very poor. I wonder if perhaps we could use a phone line instead of Skype.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm just connecting the phone line.
Yeah, sorry about that. I think that there's a lot of feedback maybe you're using a computer, so there's some background noise. So the telephone might be more convenient. To the callers, please bear with us just for 1 minute. We'll continue the call.
Hare Krishna. Anand, how is the line now?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, this is much better, actually. Yes, we can hear
you. Okay, I was actually trying to do it through the computer, but this is better. Okay, so, Atma, everyone is in tune?
Yes, Guru Maharaj, you can continue, there are 25 and we can hear you. Yeah.
Okay, so... Yeah, so that is how the 8th chapter ended.
like Yudhishthira Maharaj is lamenting, and Krishna consoled him, pointing out that on his part there was nothing wrong. And then the ninth chapter is beginning with that, with the description that how Yudhishthira Maharaj went to the battlefield along with the along with Krishna and other exalted personalities. And in the battlefield he came across, he came to Bhishma Dev, who was still there, lying on the bed of arrows. Like, Bhishma Dev was immortal, practically. He received the benediction from his father that he will not die unless he himself wanted to die. That is called Ichha Mrityu, the death by wish. And so Yudhishthira, nobody could actually defeat Bhishma Dev in the battlefield. And Bhishma Dev himself, actually Pandavas, headed by Yudhishthira Maharaj and Krishna, once went to Bhishma Dev and asked him, so tell me, how can we kill you? So this is a Kshatriya spirit. And Bhishma Dev then told that the only way he could be defeated, we could, is by keeping Shikhandi in front. Now Shikhandi is a personality who actually was a woman in a previous life. Shikhandi, the son of Drupad, the brother of Draupadi, was in his previous life he was a woman, Amba, and who left her body, entered into fire and left her body with a vow to kill Bhishma. She was holding such an intense grievance against Bhishma that she wanted to kill him. But as a woman, he couldn't do that, but he entered into fire and left her, gave up her body, and with that desire. And in his next life, in her next life, she was actually born as a woman, as a daughter of Drupad. But then in course of time, her sex changed by the benediction, by the mercy of a Jaksha. And so he got a male form. But Bhishma knew that Shikhandi was a female, actually. And Shikhandi actually appeared to be the cause of his death. Therefore, Bhishma Dev did not really counteract that or try to avert that situation. So he accepted it, and he told that if Arjun takes Shikhandi as his charioteer, then Bhishma will not shoot arrows at him to counteract his attack, because Shikhandi is a woman and Bhishma did not want to inflict any kind of injury to a woman. So Arjun, on the advice of Krishna, took this opportunity. Actually, the one thing about the Pandavas, that whatever they did it in consultation with Krishna. So that is a very wonderful instruction. That's a wonderful example how a devotee should depend upon Krishna under all circumstances. Like whatever he does, he should consult with Krishna or take Krishna's approval, or at least reveal it to Krishna. And Krishna, being situated in the heart, can hear. And also Krishna being present externally as the spiritual master, like Krishna can. So that is the advice. Like, one can either consult with the spiritual master, or when the spiritual master is not present, one can consult with the super soul, like whether what he is doing is right or wrong. So even this act was very difficult act to accept, like we have to kill Bhishma. And Arjuna, who was so fond of Bhishma, and Bhishma was so affectionate to Arjuna, now they have to fight with each other. That's what Arjuna actually told right at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. That how can I shoot arrows to Bhishma and Drona with an intention to kill them? So that was Arjuna's dilemma. And Krishna, of course, gave him the transcendental knowledge through Bhagavad Gita and provoked Arjuna, inspired Arjuna to fight the battle. So now Arjuna kept on shooting arrows at Bhishma. Generally, one shoots arrow and the opponent counteracts the arrow by his arrows or his weapons. So that is how the battle used to take place in those days. But here, Bhishma did not shoot any arrow to counteract Arjuna. And Arjuna shoots so many arrows that whole of Bhishma's body was pierced with arrows. Shikhandi also was shooting arrows at Bhishma. But Bhishma, they mentioned that Shikhandi's arrows were appearing to be like pinpricks to him, whereas Arjuna's arrows were like thunders. So here we can see that two persons can shoot arrows, but a valiant warrior, a Maharathi's arrow, naturally has a big difference. Shikhandi also, in a way, was a Maharathi, but compared to Arjuna, he was nothing. And Arjuna made Bhishma's body with so many arrows. Can you imagine, like, not only one arrow or two arrows, hundreds of, maybe thousands of arrows pierced through Bhishma's body. His heart, his spleen, his stomach, his lungs, his eyes, his... Not the eyes, no, because you are still able to see. The whole body was actually pierced. And not only pierced, like his body, the arrows penetrated through his body. And so finally, when Bhishma fell, he fell on a bed of arrows. His whole body was resting on a bed of arrows, and he was lying on the battlefield in that way. Bhishma could have left his body, but he did not do that because he was waiting for the right moment, and the right moment was Uttarayan, when the sun would travel to the northern direction. Like, there are sun moves in one course for 6 months, sun moves, as we all know. Like, sun moves in the northern hemisphere, they're on towards the northern side, and then on the southern side of the planet, Earth planet. And when the sun moves in the southern side being inauspicious, it is considered that it is inauspicious to leave one's body when the sun is moving in the southern direction. But it's auspicious when one leaves his body when the sun moves on the northern side, called Uttarayan, movement in the north, and Dakshinayan, movement to the south. And so Bhishmadev was waiting to leave his body when the sun would move, to move on the northern side. And at that time, when Bhishma was still lying on his bed of arrows, Pandavas came to see him, along with all the great personalities, great sages, great kings, and from other planetary systems, all the great personalities of the universe actually assembled there, and along with Krishna. And and then Bhishma Dev, seeing the Pandavas, he became very much affected, very moved. His affection towards the Pandavas started to flow, and he started to tell them that how could such a thing happen to you? Like, you all are the sons of the personality of Dharma. You never did anything wrong in your whole life. Your life is perfectly situated in the mode of goodness. And on top of everything, you are a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But look at your life. Like, it is from your childhood. You have been suffering. Your father died when you were just little boys. Then your mother, widowed mother, came to Hastinapur. And the way they all treated you was so unfortunate. Dhritarashtra, who was supposed to be your protector, became your enemy. He's your uncle, the elder brother of your father. In the absence of the father, the uncle actually becomes the uncle becomes like the father and the protector of the orphans. But here, this person was actually scheming to get rid of you. And Duryodhan was so envious that he tried to kill you when you were just mere children. And then he could not tolerate your popularity, and he could not tolerate your good qualities. He became so envious that he just tried to kill you and get rid of you. And he sent you to a place where there was this beautiful palace was made, but made with shellacks, with an intention to kill you all. And then you are wandering in the forest and wandering around like ordinary people, like vagabonds, no place to stay, just traveling from one village to another. And in this way, Bhishma Dev was lamenting, and he told Kunti, such a gracious lady, but she became a widow at a young age. And then, because of you all, she had to go through so much tribulation, so much difficulties. And then Bhishma Dev pointed out that one cannot actually understand the influence of time. Yes, from the karmic platform, it is the influence of time, because when the karmic reactions take place due to the influence of time, or karmic platform, karmic reactions takes place on the platform of time. But here we have to understand that Prabhupada also pointed out that Pandavas' difficulties and everything was actually Krishna's divine arrangement. It was not on the platform of karma. And Krishna's pastimes are like a play, like a drama on a stage. So Krishna makes his devotees go through different difficulties, but ultimately what Krishna proves that he always takes care of his devotees. If he did not put his devotees into difficulties, then how could the world see how Krishna saves his devotees? If everything with a devotee is all right and wonderful, then this part of Krishna's mercy, this aspect of Krishna's mercy could not be displayed. Therefore, in one hand we can see the Pandavas had gone through so many difficulties, but at the same time we see that Pandavas are being saved, and not only saved, they are becoming victorious. And this victory of the Pandavas are actually glory of the Pandavas. They've gone through so many difficulties. Yes, Bhima was poisoned, and Duryodhan threw him, tying his hands and feet, threw him in the water. And not only Bhishma was dead, now he drowned in the river Jamuna. But Bhima ended up in the Nagaloka, the kingdom of Vasuki, the kingdom of the serpents. And Bhishma was given the Kalkut, the poison, the deadly poison of King Cobra. And when Bhima landed at the bottom of the river, or when he came to the Nagaloka, he fell on some snakes, and the snakes started to bite him. And so these snake bites, the poison of the snake bite, acted as an anti-venom, as it counteracted the poison that was given by Duryodhana. And Bhima came back to his senses. And he started to kill all the snakes, being angry with them. Oh, you're biting me. Okay, I'll take care of you. And the news reached Vasuki, the king of the serpents. And Vasuki came and he recognized Bhima. And he took him to his palace. And he made Bhima drink the nectar. There is a heavenly nectar and there is a subterranean nectar also. And by drinking that nectar, Bhima actually drank 8 pots of nectar. 8 potful of nectar. And then after drinking that nectar, he slept for 7 days. And by drinking that nectar, he developed the strength. Even as a little boy, he developed the strength of 10,000 elephants. So we can see in one hand, Duryodhana is trying to harm the Pandavas. But all those acts of Duryodhana are actually becoming a way to their glory. Duryodhana tried to burn them in a house of shellac. They not only escaped, they had such wonderful adventurous time. Like they killed so many demons. First demon they killed was Hidimba. And then so many other demons they killed in the forest. And then another demon they killed was Baka. And these were actually terrible demons that nobody could deal with. Rakshasas. And it was Krishna's arrangement that Bhima had to go into those situations to kill those demons. And they were having a wonderful time wherever they went. Although poverty stricken, apparently, but they were enjoying. This also is another proof that of real happiness is not dependent upon our material situation, external situation. Like they were apparently in a poverty-stricken condition, but they are enjoying. Whereas Duryodhana, in living in absolute luxury and comfort, but the poor guy couldn't sleep at night because of his envy, because of his anxiety. In one hand, he is living in absolute comfort and luxury. But what is the actual luxury? Real luxury is a good appetite and a good night's sleep. The poor guy couldn't digest his food, nor could he sleep at night. But the Pandavas, wherever they were, like in so many difficult situations, but sleeping peacefully at night, and They had a wonderful appetite. Bhima, there is a, another name of Bhima is Brikodar. Brika means a wolf. Wolf are famous. Wolves are famous for their appetite. So Bhima had an appetite like that of an hungry wolf. So this way we can see how a devotee is always perfectly situated, and he is not only in a complete peaceful state of mind, but he all under all circumstances he experiences transcendental bliss, ananda. So in this way, Bhishma Dev's descriptions of Pandava's difficulties ultimately led to Krishna's glory and the glory of devotional service. That because you are devotees of Krishna, in one hand, Bhishma Dev mentioned that how could happen to you? How could such calamities, such difficulties, such distresses happen to you who are so pure, so pious, and on top of everything, devotees of Krishna? But at the same time, he is actually declaring, you know, through his statements, that the devotees of Krishna, no matter with whichever circumstances they are in, they are always blissful. Because they have taken shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, Krishna will always take care of them. So that is the situation of a devotee. That's why devotees are never in anxiety. There may be some temporary anxiety because of the difficulty they may face at times, but those anxiety, in a very short while, turns into ecstasy. And in this respect, an example has been given. Like just as a father sometimes throws the child up in the air. Now that causes some anxiety to the child. Like the child feels, oh. But then the father catches the child in the midair. Then both the child and the father, both of them start to laugh. So Krishna's dealing with his devotees is something like that. Krishna makes a devotee go through some difficulties. But then he protects the devotee. Not only protects the devotee, he glorifies the devotee, he rewards the devotee in the most wonderful way. So that is how Krishna derives his pleasure, derives his joy, and his devotee also derives his joy. If this contrast, if this anxiety was not there, then the ecstasy wouldn't have been experienced. So in this way, Pandava's situation as the greatest devotee of the Lord had been so wonderfully established. And Bhishma Dev also mentioned that he is present. Krishna is present in everyone's heart. Krishna is equal to everyone. But still, Krishna deals with his devotees in a certain way. Despite his being equally kind to everyone, he has graciously come before me now. So he is now, Bhishma Dev, after glorifying the devotion of the Pandavas and Krishna's attitude towards the Pandavas, he is now glorifying Krishna. That Krishna, you are so kind that now you have come in front of me. When the time has come for me to leave my body, you have appeared before me. Why? Because somehow or other I rendered some devotional service to you. Somehow or other I developed some appreciation for you. And that is why you have come. At a very, very difficult time. And of course, Then Bhishma Dev, Yudhishthira Maharaj asked Bhishma Dev to advise him on what should be done. And then Bhishma Dev told him about seven dharmas. And the first one was Varnashram Dharma. Then the conflict between what the right and wrong, like the counteraction by detachment and interaction by attachment. Counteraction, we have to counter the influence of material nature by being detached from material nature. And we have to do the positive action or interaction by developing our attachment to Krishna. Bhakti, Parishanu, Bhava, Birakti, Annatrasha. When one develops attachment to Krishna, then automatically the detachment to material nature takes place. Then the acts of charity, how the charity must be offered. Like Bhishma Dev gave a very elaborate explanation or instruction on that. Then he spoke about Rajadharma, the duty or dharma of a king. Then Moksha Dharma, how to achieve perfection, how to achieve liberation. Then he spoke about Stri Dharma, the duties of a woman. And then finally he spoke about the duties of a devotee. So in this way, Bhishma Dev gave an elaborate advice to the Pandavas. And at that time, the sun's course changed from the southern hemisphere to northern hemisphere. So that means Uttarayan period began at that time. And at that time, Bhishma Dev stopped speaking. And being completely free from from all kinds of bondage, he withdrew his mind from everything else and fixed his wide open eyes upon Sri Krishna as he stood there before him in his four-handed form. Bhishma Dev's relationship to Krishna was in awe and reverence. Therefore, he saw Krishna, his worshipable Lord was Narayan, and he saw Krishna as Narayan. So that is the Vaikuntha mood. And so that is how Bhishma saw him, or rather, because Bhishma's worshipable Lord was Narayan, Krishna manifested himself in his four-arm form in front of him at that time. And at that time, Bhishma Dev offered some beautiful prayers, another set of prayers that has been discussed, that has been presented about in Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll just read some of them. Like text 33, which is the second prayer of Bhishma Dev. It's so beautiful. Tribhuvana kamanam tamala varnam robikara gohura varam varang dadhane bopula bopurala kuko kulabritananabjam vijaya sakhirati rastu me anamadhyaya. He described him as Vijaya Sakhi. Vijaya Sakhi. Sakha means friends, and Vijaya means victory. So in this way, he described Krishna as a son, as a friend of Arjuna. That is how he was seen. Sri Krishna is the intimate friend of Arjuna. He has appeared on this earth in his transcendental body, which resembles the bluish color of the tamal tree. His body attracts everyone in three planetary systems. May his glittering yellow dress and his lotus face covered with paintings of sandalwood pulp be the object of my attraction, and may I not desire fruitive results. So here also we are seeing another aspect, that Bhishma Dev, although was a worshipper of Narayan, but now he is developing his attachment to Krishna. From four-armed form, he is actually developing his attachment to his two-armed Shyamsundara form. On the battlefield, where Sri Krishna attended Arjuna out of friendship, the flowing hair of Lord Krishna turned ashen due to the dust raised by the hooves of the horses. And because of his labor, beads of sweat wetted his face. All these decorations, intensified by the wounds dealt by my sharp arrows, were enjoyed by him. Let my mind thus go unto Sri Krishna. In obedience to the command of his friend, Lord Sri Krishna entered the arena of the battlefield of Kurukshetra between the soldiers of Arjuna and Duryodhana, and while there, he shortened the lifespan of the opposite party by his merciful glance. This was done simply by his looking at the enemy. Let my mind be fixed upon that Krishna. So this is also another wonderful realization. When Krishna is with his devotee, Krishna makes all the arrangements for devotee's victory. Like Krishna did not take up any weapon. That was the promise that he made. That was the condition that he laid. When Duryodhana and Arjuna both came seeking for his participation in their side, then Krishna finally gave them a choice, that in one side I'll be there and I will not touch any weapon, I'll not fight the battle. And on the other hand, there'll be my entire army. So you decide whom you want. And the first option was given to Arjuna. He said that since Arjuna was younger, Arjuna has the first choice. Arjuna said, Krishna, I want you. And Duryodhana was happy. He thought Krishna was not going to fight. He is just one person. So what's the use of having him? Rather, let me have his army. So this is the difference between the devotee and a non-devotee. Because the devotee knows that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he simply depends upon Krishna and everything else is totally irrelevant to him. Whereas a non-devotee, because he doesn't recognize Krishna's spiritual position, Krishna's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because their vision is only limited to the material perception, they simply want material. They depend upon the material aspects. So, but here we can see, although Krishna did not touch any weapon, but what did he do? When he entered into the battlefield, just by his glance, all the opposite soldiers, the enemies were all dead. It was only a matter of time, which he told Arjuna. It's only a matter of time before they die. They all are dead. I have killed them. And Bhishma Dev also is saying the same thing. Just by looking at them, Krishna took away their life. He didn't have to use any weapon to kill them. Just by his glance, he actually killed them. Then he mentions about how Krishna so mercifully spoke about Bhagavad Gita. So in this way, he offered so many beautiful prayers. At the moment of death, let my ultimate attraction be to Sri Krishna, the Personality of Godhead. I concentrate my mind upon the chariot driver of Arjuna, who stood with a whip in his right hand and a bridle rope in his left, who was very careful to give protection to Arjuna's chariot by all means. Those who saw him on the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained their original forms after death. So Bhishma Devi is pointing out that those who died in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, they achieved their spiritual liberation, Vaikuntha Mukti. And they attained their spiritual form and went back to their spiritual situation. Let my mind be fixed upon Lord Sri Krishna, whose motions and smiles of love attracted the damsels of Rajadham, the gopis. The damsels limited the characteristic movement. The damsels imitated the characteristic movements of Lord after his disappearance from the Rasa dance. At the Rajasuya Yajna performed by Maharaj Yudhishthir, there was the greatest assembly of all the elite men of the world, the royal and learned orders. And in that great assembly, Lord Sri Krishna was worshipped by one and all as the most exalted personality of Godhead. This happened during my presence, and I remembered the incident in order to keep my mind upon the Lord. So in this way, anyway, this is the last prayer. Now I can meditate with full concentration upon that one Lord Sri Krishna, now present before me, because now I have transcended the misconceptions of duality in regard to his presence in everyone's heart, even in the hearts of the mental speculators. He is in everyone's heart. The sun may be perceived differently, but the sun is one. So in this way, offering his prayers, Bhishma Dev merged himself into the super soul, Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with his mind, speech, sight and actions. And thus he became silent and his breathing stopped. Knowing that Bhishma Dev has merged into the unlimited eternity of the Supreme Absolute, all present there became silent like birds at the end of the day. So this merging of Bhishma Dev, we have to understand, is not Sajuja Mukti, but this merging actually means that he entered into Krishna's spiritual abode. He went back to Vaikuntha, developing his spiritual identity. So in this way, this chapter describes the passing away of Bhishma Dev in front of Krishna. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question? Is there any question here?
Hare Krishna.
Just a moment. Atma, I have a question here.
Yes,
so I'm
Guru
taking that and then
Yes, Guru.
Yeah. You see, just like that, the law, one abides by the law.
Guruji, can you repeat the question?
Yeah, the question is, Bhishma Dev is a pure devotee, then why did he worry about the movement of the sun in the northern direction? Got the question? This question is from Shripati here. So the answer to that question is that yes, a devotee, whenever he leaves his body, is going to be all auspicious. But still, just as a law-abiding citizen abides by the law of the king, although being very close to the king, he may not have to abide by the law. But still he does that, showing the respect for the king's authority and honoring the laws. So this is how sometimes devotees maintain this attitude. There's another question from Rasa Bihari Krishna, who is visiting from London.
So you're talking about praying when you still find Krishna. How come you still wanted to go to Vaikuntha after having Krishna?
Yeah. So this Okay, the question is that Bhishma Dev, in spite of seeing Krishna and developing his attachment to Krishna, how come he is going to Vaikuntha? My point is, why didn't he go to Vrindavan? Yeah, because of his natural attachment. You see, so because of his, you know, spiritual situational spiritual perfection. That those who have developed, like those who have their inherent situation, they want to remain in that situation. They don't want to change it. Like here, we can see his attachment is to Krishna in battle of Kurukshetra, in Hastinapur, in Krishna of Dwarka. He is not attached to Krishna of Vrindavan. Although he is aware of Krishna's dealings with the gopis, but he did not develop that kind of relationship, which is a result of following a resident of Vrindavan. Raganuga Bhakti. Raganuga Bhakti is the bhakti, devotional service, executed following one of the residents of Vrindavan, one of the associates of Krishna in Vrindavan. So Bhishma Dev did not have that bhakti. Therefore, his destination was not Vrindavan. His destination was Dwarka. But Vasudev Krishna, not Brajendra Nandan Krishna. Yeah, so now I'm open to invite questions from others.
Guru Maharaj, so to the callers, if you... Yes, Guru Maharaj.
Yes.
To the callers, if you have any questions, please dial *6 and you'll be placed into the question queue. So please dial *6 now if you have a question.
Haribol, it's strange. Yeah, usually we get so many questions. How many participants are there today, Atma?
Guru Maharaj, there were earlier... Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, there were 30 callers, but I think the Skype bridge has gone offline, so we've lost some of the callers. Now there are 15. So hopefully there's... Hopefully the Skype callers will come back in a few minutes. But I think
Skype is down. What happened, you said? What happened to Skype?
Guru Raj, there's a bridge, there's a gateway between Skype and the free conferencing
Skype
then. Provider.
Okay.
And that bridge is down.
So lost,
that bridge has gone offline.
15,
for now.
You lost 15.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Connections. 15 connections. Okay.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Okay. I will call the company to ask them to, you know, to try and resolve this issue. But from the existing callers, there are no questions at the moment.
Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna.
Okay. Thank you very much, Guru Maharaj. So, would you like to do another class next Saturday? Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.
30 were connected.
30
lines were connected.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, can you hear me?
15 dropped.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. And I don't know. So 7 means... We generally find out about it 10 minutes before. I'm not really plugged into the Facebook world, but...
Okay, thank you very much to all the callers. I guess Guru Maharaj can't hear me right now. But,
Actually, you sent something on your...
Station is doing before. Are you connected to Ishtagoshti?
No.
Oh, get into Ishtagoshti. He actually informed me.
Thank you very much for participating on this. And,
we'll
try to schedule another next. Please Facebook on the group that's Bhakti Charu Swami in order to...
Hey, how are you?
Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Sorry about the technical difficulties.
You rested well?
Yes,
thank you. Yeah? I'm fine. I'm very well. Thank you. We have to take care of the baby. Yeah. You start to cry. She started. Yes. So how was the flight? Yeah. Was it difficult to travel with her?
No, it could have been.
Which class did you travel? Hare Krishna, Atma.
Hare Krishna, do you want?
Yeah, Atma.
Yeah, I think you're still connected to the conference call, so we can hear you talking.
Okay. I didn't disconnect probably. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Guru.
Hare Krishna.